Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Introverted Queen, where I, an introvert, have conversation with other introverts about living in an extroverted world. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. If you are a returning listener, thank you so much for listening, supporting, and sharing these episodes. Do you remember the game Super Mario? I do. And you probably played it once or twice in your life. And it was probably the only game that I ever played, even though I wasn't really good at it. Video games never interested me, and I always thought it was a waste of time, and it was probably not even good for your brain. Until this episode. Kat is an introverted gamer who gave me a Gamer 101 course and changed my perspective on gaming. We talked about how she was introduced to gaming, how the gaming industry has changed, and she also shared with me some games that I might even consider playing one day. Can you believe that? It's a great episode. Check it out. Hi, Kat.
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, enjoying this exceptionally nice weather that we're experiencing here.
I know. It's been like the last few days, the fall weather has been really warm, so it's awesome.
Yes, it's preparing us for the deep chill that's about to set in.
I know. Oh, so thank you for being here. Thank you for saying yes to being a guest on this podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
The first question, who is Kat?
Yeah, I was trying to think about this. So let's see. The answer I came up with was currently by day, I'm a data analyst. That's also a diversity, equality, and inclusion warrior. And by night, I'm a traveler of fantastical places.
Okay.
That roughly sums it up.
I like that. So we're going to talk about gaming today, which I know nothing about. And I'm excited to talk to you about this because I feel like you're going to teach me a few things.
I will definitely try, especially if you don't know anything about it. Like anything that comes out of my mouth, you're going to have to take as like solid truth until you go out and find it might not be. So yes.
So when did you start gaming?
I started gaming somewhere in the mid 80s before I even turned double digits. I remember there was an arcade across from where we lived. It was like a little plaza with shops and everything. And I remember going in there and playing games like Galaga, Pac-Man, Space Invaders, Paperboy. Double Dragons came out when I turned 10. And I remember that was like huge. There was a lineup out the door of the arcade. And I just, it's these little fragments of memories that I have of being at the arcade. And so that would roughly be around the first time I started playing. Well, maybe it was also at a restaurant where they had like a Pong machine. That might have been the first one, but roughly mid-80s.
Interesting. So how has like the gaming industry changed since the mid-80s till now?
Oh, that's huge. The variety of games that is available today is staggering. I believe for video game-wise, anyways, obviously like people call it gaming. But for me, gaming could be anything. A subgenre of that is video games. So within video games, there's so many different types of games out there. There's first-person shooters. There's role-playing games. There's purely puzzle-solving games. The big one now is the cozy games, where it's not a lot of fighting or anything. Mostly it's time management, problem-solving. Like Animal Crossing could fit into that. One of the new games coming out is Coral Island could fit into that. The diversification of games is astounding, and the stories that go along with those games have greatly increased. And then just on a financial level alone, like currently the gaming industry is a multi-billion dollar business. I think if I'm not incorrect, after I tried to reach up some stats preparing for this podcast, but I think in 2020, it was roughly $160 billion globally. That the video game industry made. And in 2021, that jumped up to $180
billion. Wow.
There's statements out there indicating that the video game industry revenue-wise, is larger than movies and the music industry combined.
That's crazy.
That's sort of how it's changed over the last year. And the fact that it's a little more sociably acceptable. A lot of people who play games younger are now adults, and they're either in the gaming industry or just a pastime that you've just never given up because games have followed you. They've become more mature, interesting stories, and everything like that. So they've grown up with us, basically.
It's interesting because, in my mind, when I think about gaming, I always think about, violent games or like, the games where there's like car crashes, something. I never thought about because you explained there were layers, and I'm like, it's true. There's probably something out there for everybody.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Like some games are like I pur purposely, not purposely, but I enjoy games with a very good story. So I'm more of RPG type player, role-playing game type player. And you get to create your character and then you travel the world, you're solving problems, you're meeting NPCs, you're making decisions. And in some games, the decisions that you make change the world of the game. So you're following down a different path that the developers had created for you. Some of them are cinematic masterpieces, and I'm going to plug God of War, like the new God of War. I took vacation off from November 9th to 11th to play the second chapter of God of War. Like this story is absolutely amazing, talking about Kratos and him dealing with becoming a father after the death of his wife and everything like that. It's like, Santa Monica Studios does wonderful things and tells an amazing story.
That's really interesting that there's a story attached to this game because I think people don't realize that. People who are non-gamers, anyways, they don't realize that there's actually a story being told in these games.
In many cases, absolutely. Some games don't have a story. It's all about the mechanics of the game and playing with other people. But yes, there's a whole gamut of games out there that have deep, rich stories that span years. Like the Kratos story, God of War, like, ooh, I can't remember when his games first came out. I think early 2000s? Because there's a whole slew of games where you get to watch his arc. And then at the end of the first segment of games, he's not a very nice character. Like you're like, oh, do I have to play him again? He's not nice. And then years have gone by and they come out with the new chapters and now he's a dad and everything. Now you get to also experience that storytelling. There's many times I'll actually go on YouTube if I don't have time to play the game, and people will mash up the cutscenes of games to tell a story. And some of the Kratos stories, like you're looking at almost 4 to 5 hours, purely just a video of cutscenes.
Do you think it's more socially acceptable now, gaming?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I do. There are still people who think video games are for just kids. Because they're used to that being it marketed that way, or maybe that's the only time that they ever see them marketed. But yes, it's definitely more socially acceptable. Actually, I've noticed, can't remember what I was reading. It was a report based on qualities that you want to look for in a new employee. And if they say that they play video games, that's a good sign. It has been statistically proven that people who play video games, just like if they keep playing sports and everything, their dexterity is better, their problem solving is better. Sometimes, depending on the games that they play, their communications with teammates can be better because many games you have to work at a team in order to accomplish a goal. Not all games, but some games do. So there's a lot of more socially acceptable ideas around gaming, I would say. Yes. At least not too many people look at me funny when I inform them that I like to spend my evenings slashing down people with double swords. So.
But you know what? It's true because I think back about like shows in the 90s. You would have like that kid or that adult who's in his room playing video games, and he was always the one who was a little weird, the nerd. And I think we've moved away from that. I think it's, as you said, it's way more socially acceptable now.
Yeah, that was a stereotype that obviously that held true. And a lot of people didn't want to come forth to say that they played games or whatnot because of that stereotype. But, over time, like people just tried and realized they absolutely enjoy it. Or parents that were children back then, they grew up and they had children and they've taught their kids to game, right? So it's been a generational increase, probably due to parents or sometimes big sisters in my case.
As a woman, do you see yourself represented in the gaming industry? Is it inclusive?
It's gotten better. It definitely has gotten better. There are definitely a lot of amazing women developing, producing, writing video games. More protagonists, especially in single player games, are coming out as the characters are being shown as women instead of like a default character of a man. Usually when you're dealing with RPGs, in many cases you can create your own character and that's where you can create it to look like you. But there are a lot of standalone games that are coming out where the default protagonist that's unchangeable is female. And so far, like, some people obviously get backlash, but in essence, it's really nice to see these big gaming communities embrace these games because they just don't care. Like, if the game's good, then you're going to play it. And it shouldn't matter what the protagonist is, but representation is nice and it does matter. So it is really nice to see. So it's gotten a lot better over the years.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Where it's nowhere close to being great, but it's gotten a lot better over the years.
Baby steps, right?
Exactly.
Do you see anything in video games that, like, the main character could be an introvert?
I think for the way that some video games are structured, especially when it's a single player game and you are the main protagonist, usually that protagonist is alone a lot. So by default, I would assume that they would have to be an introvert. A, right. you're bleeding your own character, like your own personalities into that character as you're playing. But for the sheer fact that most of these characters are alone all the time, like Witcher, Geralt of Rivia, in order for him, if you don't want to take a potion or anything, for him to regenerate his health and his stamina, he just sits and meditates by himself.
Oh, that's right? Interesting.
Like, exactly. So it's some of these game mechanics that could be like that. When you're just dealing with introverts or as individuals that gain their energy or that gain their energy back from being alone, I think most main characters, The Witcher, Master Chief, just because they spend so much of the game alone just hacking down enemies, that I would assume that they would probably be introverts because it would be very hard for them to keep up their energy if they weren't. Not saying that they can't be, but I just think the way the game character is portrayed, I do imagine them to be more introverts that way. But on another case, for characters with anxiety or social anxiety, there actually is quite a few video games out there where they have these characters. A few of them that I've played is Jack from Jack and Dexter, just from some of his social cues and everything like that. Spyro, possibly. Crash Bandicoot doesn't talk a lot, actually, so could be labeled as an introvert, as in, like, not saying much and shy, if you want to go with that particular definition of it. So there are quite a few other characters that, just based off of the character traits that were built into them, you could definitely label them as introvert, depending on the definition you decide to go with.
Oh, that's cool. What would non-gamers be surprised to know about gamers?
That the gaming community is filled with warm-hearted individuals that can create long-lasting friendship in virtual spaces. Sometimes I don't think people who don't play video games, especially multiplayer video games or games where you can just jump online, play with people, even people where you don't even need to talk to, you can really build up some amazing communities. Like, I'm part of a gaming guild, and I've met people on there that I've been gaming with for the last 6-7 years. I consider them friends, even though I've never met them. We've met online. We've talked about stuff online. Like, my brother, when he was younger, he had a gaming community, and they would do their homework on Xbox Live.
Oh, wow.
And there's other stories out there. I do remember hearing a story where people were gaming together. They knew this one individual had epilepsy, I believe it was. And they were all talking, and then all of a sudden, it went silent on the other guy's side, and they heard a crash, I believe. And so I guess they had exchanged Christmas cards or something like that, so they knew his address, so they called 911, and lucky they did, because I believe he banged his head on the coffee table and he was knocked unconscious. So the ambulance was able to go there and help him, right? So I think that, like, obviously there's toxic people out there. There's toxic people wherever you go. But I think they get more limelight than the absolutely amazing communities that are out there and that are in a virtual space and that have been going on for years, if not decades.
That's great, because I think with technology, I don't think we realize that, yes, you can have like an actual physical community with people that you know, but there is something about building a community virtually.
Oh, yes, absolutely. When everybody started to go working virtually, I had already been working virtually. On top of that, I am a gamer, but I do enjoy multiplayer games. So it's just about making the space. Like your work environment, like the physical building, that is a space that was created for all of you to go in and work at. And so when you get up to go randomly go do something, you can talk to people. But online, you need to create those spaces as well. Like maybe an hour out of the week, open up a meeting where people can jump in and jump out as they need to. Just have random conversations. It's just a different way of creating those spaces in which a lot of the younger generation, especially, are more accustomed to, especially if they play video games and multiplayer video games. Like if you're playing with other people, if you're coordinating with some of those dungeons, gosh, especially when you're coordinating with other people, that, yeah, they're very used to those spaces.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's not that different from like groups, like via Facebook, like mothers and stuff like that. So to me, it's pretty cool that the gaming industry also has that virtual community.
Absolutely. I remember staying up all night trying to help people complete a raid, and I wasn't getting off until they got their achievement. I already had it. I didn't care, but I was there to help them. And you'd be amazed at how many people are just willing to do that. And that also can bleed over into real life. Not necessarily that all the violent games necessarily bleed over into real life, but some of those aspects that you do for fellow gamers is something that you carry on in real life as well, like outside of the virtual world.
Absolutely. So do you have a favorite video game?
Oh, this one's hard. This one's really hard. But I would have to go based off of how many times I've played a video game. Usually I never play a video game more than once. Okay. There's too many video games out there. I don't have enough time. But one game that I have played 3 times, and I'm actually going through a 4th time playing it, is Mass Effect. Mass Effect is absolutely, it's a interstellar game, so it's just beautiful. The storyline that goes along with it, and it spans around 3 games. The storyline that goes along with it, you get to create your own character, Shepard. The characters that are there, like, oh, it's just an absolutely beautiful game. And it does bring back a lot of amazing memories of me, my mom, and my brother. I'm playing the video game. My brother's on his Game Boy. My mom's on the computer playing her Mahjong. And there's like decisions that have to come up that you have to do in the video game. And we're discussing about what decisions we need to make and what would be the best for all the planets and all the species involved. It's just, yeah, just have really good memories with that game outside of it being absolutely amazing game. Like, so amazing. Like, I have Mass Effect merch around my house. I have a sweater. I have the spaceship. It's just a really good game. So I would have to answer that with Mass Effect. Be it the first game, actually the second game is better, but the first game has a lot of memories, or they're just the whole entire trilogy. But definitely, yeah, I would say Mass Effect.
You know, you were describing the memories that you have with like your mom and your brother just playing the game. And I'm like, you were uncovering or strengthening your problem solving skills at a very young age.
So was my brother, actually. Yeah. To help him read, we played Elder Scrolls Morrowind, and a lot of it is reading based because they didn't have voice acting at the time, I believe, for most of them or some of them. Your decisions are not voiced, so that's the way he learned to read. He was playing that game and I wouldn't read it to him. So we had to figure it out on his own.
Oh, interesting. Well, Kat, this has been great. Thank you for being here. Thank you for schooling me on this amazing industry. I'm actually going to go on YouTube and look at some stuff. So,
Oh, that's amazing. I'm not quite sure what type of games that you're going to like. So definitely look up RPGs. You might really enjoy first-person shooters. Hey, get that rage out. Oh my gosh, there's a whole line of games coming out called Cozy Games. You know,
Okay.
Animal Crossing, the new Disney game, the Disney Dreamlight came out, Coral Island, My Time in Portia, like a lot of these types of cozy games. Like, oh, you're definitely bound to find something that sparks your interest.
Awesome. I will definitely keep you posted.
And if you need more game listings, I can give you a whole list of games, don't worry.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kat.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
That was such a great conversation I had with Kat. I hope you found it insightful just as much as I did. One thing I took away from this conversation is that there is a community in gaming. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and please subscribe. Follow me on Instagram at introverted_queenblog. Thank you so much for tuning in. Take good care, and until next time.